You were living with your girlfriend last time, weren't you?
No, I've never lived with a girlfriend.
I thought you lived with a girl. Oh no, you know when the last time I saw you was when we I think wound up at Bang Studio on Fairfax, and then afterwards we went over to have some drinks with some of the other people that were on stage.
Yes.
But I remember you had a girlfriend though, didn't you?
No.
You didn't. Maybe we were trying to get you a girlfriend that night on Fairfax.
I maybe I was trying, maybe I was talking to somebody,
Yeah.
but no.
There was a girl there. You were there because you knew a girl in the show, I think.
Yes. Well, I
Yeah.
knew the girl that was putting it on. I believe it was Lisa Robinson
Okay.
who put it on, yeah. How's it going, man? I'm
Are we on
talking
the
to
air
you.
now?
Yeah, man, we're
Oh,
on
shit.
the
You didn't tell me. You
air.
need
Well,
you need to tell me these things,
it was such a
man.
good story. I just thought, go with it.
Yeah, the last time we saw each other. Hey, everybody.
This is Sal Rodriguez, by the way, with me on Breakfast with Comics. I'm Zach. And anyway, you were saying, Sal?
Well, first of all, let me just say this is a commentary on comedians because it's 1 o'clock and we're having breakfast.
Yes, exactly.
I take it you went to bed very late last night.
Actually, yes, but only because I stayed up watching. Well, I finished Lockout, the movie with Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
It was okay. And
I
then
haven't heard of
watched.
that one. Is that
No,
no?
it's a Luc Besson movie. The guy that did like Fifth Element and stuff like that. And
Yeah.
it's kind of supposed to be like Escape from New York in space.
Yeah.
So I was super into that idea. Like the president's daughter gets kidnapped on this prison ship,
Yeah.
and so they get this kind of smart alecky. Bad guy with a heart of gold, Guy Pearce, and
Yeah.
they're like, "Listen, man, we'll let you out of jail if you go bust out the president's daughter."
Well, wait a second. This is a ripoff of Escape from LA, then.
Exactly, that's what I'm
Or
saying.
was it Escape from New York? Because I saw Escape from New York and Escape from LA, and I forgot which one was he had to
New
go bust out
York
the
was first.
president.
Yes, well, New York and L.A., as far as I can recall, were basically the exact same story.
So then this movie seems like it's like a
It
trilogy,
is.
part of the trilogy.
It is. It's Snake Plissken of the future,
Yeah.
but sadly, it just didn't. Hold up to my expectations or my hopes. I mean, I like the smart alecky bad guy
Yeah.
or good guy. You don't see that a lot
Yeah.
anymore. But for some reason, it was just like I don't know. It didn't seem natural. It was like he was just trying to be the smart alecky quippy guy the whole movie. And I don't know if that's the writing or what.
Well, I don't know if Guy Pearce has that likability factor that Kurt Russell has.
Well, you got a point.
I mean, Guy Pearce is a great actor, but I mean,
Sure.
he doesn't have that. I mean, you don't like him necessarily. You know, you admire his acting, but I don't think he has that likability factor of a Kurt Russell.
I agree. You know what's interesting about Kurt Russell is he started out doing like Disney movies.
Yeah, he was a kid actor.
Yeah, so I wonder if that has anything to.
Yeah, you need to be. So basically, Guy Pearce should have went through the Disney training camp,
Yes.
and maybe he would have that little spark, like so he could be like Snake Plissken was the guy you hate to love, as you would
Yes,
say.
yes. Or yeah, exactly. So I think you might be my first stand-up comedy friend.
Really?
I think so. I don't remember if I was doing stand-up yet when we met or if I was saying I was doing
No,
it.
you and I met at an audition.
Yes.
Ironically, this is a breakfast cereal show, but you and I met at an audition for pizza.
Pizza, yeah.
Red Baron frozen pizza. We met at an
You didn't get
audition.
that, right?
What?
That
No, I didn't get it. No.
it
As a
was
matter
the
of fact,
weirdest
no,
audition.
I saw the guy who, you know, yeah, it was the weirdest audition because they had every type. Normally at an audition, you have a certain type.
Yes.
You walk in, you see guys that look like you. I
Yes.
walk in, I see guys that look like me. This audition had every type for
Yes.
the same role.
Yes, it's not often I would have a Rodriguez up against me
Yeah,
in a role,
exactly. Exactly.
but I didn't make a habit of like meeting people at auditions. I mean, it was kind of a fluke. I felt a kinship with you, I
Yeah.
think, through the comedy.
Well, somehow somebody mentioned stand up. I think maybe I was talking to somebody else.
I think that may have been it. Yeah,
Yeah, I
you
think
mentioned
I
it.
mentioned stand up, and I think then you go, "Oh, I do stand up." I go, "Oh, yeah, me too." And I think you said you were booking the room. I think it was
Oh,
in
yeah,
Woodland
that's
Hills.
right. So I must have just started,
Yeah,
right?
so then you invited me, and then we became friends after that.
Yes. And I felt like if anyone, like if Russian terrorists were to take over the audition room, that you would have been the guy to stick with. I think that's what I
To crack jokes as we're dying. Is that what you're
felt.
saying?
Sure, you're like the Mexican equivalent of McClane,
Yeah,
or not, or whatever,
who
Latino.
was well no it is
Oh,
Mexican.
good, good. I guessed
No,
correctly.
you got it, you got it. No, because like I got a couple of good buddies, Rodriguez, a good buddy of mine, Nestor Rodriguez, and he's Puerto Rican.
Oh,
As a
man.
matter of fact, I'm the only Rodriguez I know who is of Mexican background.
Really?
Yeah, not Puerto Rican or
That's interesting.
Ecuadorian.
Well, what's the sort of catch-all term that can cover Latino? Is
that what? That's a very good question. Well, you know, I was brought up on the term Mexican-American,
okay,
made famous by Cheech Marin from Cheech and Chong. Yeah, in fact, he had the song in the movie, Mexican-Americans go to night school and take Spanish and get a B. You know, so he had that song. So I grew up with the terms like Mexican-American, also not necessarily Latino, Chicano. Chicano is a big term. Chicano's a person of Mexican descent who's mm-hmm. born in the States. That's Chicano.
I feel like Chicano, for some reason, has a certain 80s sound to it. Like, I feel like that's something you heard a lot in the 80s, Chicano.
Yeah,
like,
it
I
was.
I don't feel like it's, I hear it much anymore.
I think that also sort of a political term as well, sort of during the, maybe the Latino rights movement or equal rights movement of the 70s and 80s came along this expression, Chicano. I think sort of started by groups like Mecha. Mecha is like this brown pride, brown power college kid group, and I think they might have coined these terms like Chicano, which I think is a political term.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know if I know it. I think
that's
what I know.
That was a pretty good Cheech Marin impression. Was he one of your bigger comedy influences as a young Chicano?
Well, you know, I remember as a kid, my mother took me to see Up in Smoke. My mother used to always take me to inappropriate movies. I grew up here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, this studio is really awesome. This is an actual studio.
Cool.
I saw like long-haired guys. I think that this is where Tom Cruise came to rehearse Rock of Ages.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah,
I've
there's a drum set in the corner right over here.
Yes, there is. It's mostly for music recording, of course. I saw a American Idol contestant last week. Recording here. So
yeah.
It was kind of
no, there's like, how many recording studios are here?
Oh, I mean, there's like...
It's like an endless corridor of rooms.
Well, no, yeah, I actually hadn't explored it until last week because someone was parked behind me and had to go find room 8,
yeah,
which was surprisingly difficult to find. There's like 60 freaking rooms here. This place is huge.
Yeah, I think people can actually lease this out by the hour for prostitution as well, because I see there's no windows, there's no cameras. You can do whatever the hell you want in here.
Exactly. Nobody would have any clue.
But so what I was saying was that my mother would take me to these inappropriate movies as a kid. By inappropriate, I mean like I was a little boy, and she would take me to R-rated movies with lots of sex. Not really violence. My mother was anti-violent, but kind of okay with the sex.
So
and also the drug use
of the ratings board.
Yeah, exactly. She was like, she didn't want me to see any violence, but she was okay with the drugs and with the sex. So she would take me to Cheech and Chong movies. And I remember as a kid, I must have been 6 years old, watching Up in Smoke at I think either the Newart Theater or the Vista Theater, one of these local theaters. And I remember just laughing so hard. And of course, I wasn't even high because I'm 6 years old.
Sure.
But I just loved it and I laughed. And yeah, it could have made an impression on me without me realizing it at the time. But I remember I just loved it. And to the and now I'm proud to say as I'm also a toy collector. I have many, many action figures, and some of my favorite action figures are made by a company called NECA, NECA, and they make Cheech and Chong collectibles, and I have Up in Smoke Cheech and Chong figures that I display proudly.
That's awesome.
Even complete with tiny little joints.
Well, so they have the from each one of their movies, just their different characters?
Well, they have, if you remember, when he's up on the stage, when Cheech is up on the stage with a tutu.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think I've only seen the Corsican Brothers.
You've seen one of the worst movies.
My roommate was like, oh, I love this one so much. I mean, it was okay. But yeah, I actually haven't seen in their entirety the other ones.
Well, you have to see, if you're going to see any Cheech and Chong movie, it has to be Up in Smoke.
Okay.
That was the movie that put them on the map. That's what had plenty of pot smoking,
giant joint.
Yeah, the giant joint, the van made of weed. I mean, that's the movie to see. Be sure to watch it while high.
Sure.
You know what's funny is that I've seen Up in Smoke since then, while high, as an adult. Not as funny as when I was a six-year-old boy in the movie theater.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder what the perception equivalent is of six-year-old boy and stoned 30-year-old.
Maybe a six-year-old
about
boy is kind of more stoned
exactly.
than a 30-year-old.
Totally. Yeah. Well, what about stand-up-wise? Paul Rodriguez?
I grew up watching Paul Rodriguez. I by the way, I really appreciate this show because you know what you get to see, you get to hear in shows like this, is you get to hear comedians' stories before they've made it. No,
yeah.
Once upon a time, you would only hear a comedian's story once they've made it, once Johnny Carson invites him over to the couch. Yeah, exactly. You don't get to hear mid-struggle.
Exactly,
yeah. But actually, one of the first cassette tapes I ever stole was Comic Relief.
Okay.
So as a kid, I stole Comic Relief on cassette, and Paul Rodriguez was one of the comedians on there.
Yeah, Paul Rodriguez, Billy Crystal, Robin Williams.
And Billy Keaton.
Billy Keaton.
No, Bill, no. Keaton. Michael Keaton. Who's Billy Keaton? I don't know.
Michael Keaton. Really?
Michael Keaton has a stand-up routine on the original Comic Relief.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that he was a stand-up comedian.
Do stand-up, but I haven't seen a lot of his stuff.
Well, you didn't miss anything.
Do you know what his real name is?
No.
Michael Douglas.
No. That's why. But he changed it.
Yeah. Because obviously there's already a Michael Douglas, who ironically looks a lot like Kurt Russell, bringing the conversation full circle.
That was a callback.
Yeah. What we in the comedy world might refer to as a callback. Well, you've been doing stand-up for a long time.
I've been doing stand-up for about 8 or 9 years. But I also do other things. Stand-up is my base. And one thing that – and I'm also an actor. But one thing I like to clarify to people is that I'm not an actor who did stand-up. I'm a stand-up who does acting. So it all started with stand-up for me, and that segued into acting, into MC, into hosting various venues and events. Also, wedding MC. Also, I've done comedic art auctioneering for some local galleries. Jeez, so that's been fun. So it all started with stand-up and then has blossomed out into many other things.
So when you're doing something like the art thing.
Yes.
And you're basically just entertaining the crowd for a couple hours.
Yes.
Now, are you kind of just being conversational and peppering in your material, or how does that work?
Well, there's no material, really. Okay. It's all improvisational. Oh, but wow. If I'm looking to sell something like this sports bottle, for example, you know, I want to sell the sports bottle. It's only about 20 ounces of Polar sports bottle. We're looking at $5.95 to start. We're looking at $5. Do I have $5.95 over here? Looking for $6.95. Hey, the gentleman in the back. Yeah, the fat guy. Hey, fat guy, come over here. $7.95 for the fat guy in the back. All right, $8.95 for this sports bottle. And I'm basically doing that for 2 hours, and I get 10% of the total earnings, which is cool.
So you're actually the auctioneer. I see.
Yeah, I'm actually the auctioneer trying to bring in the money for the goods, and then chasing my check down when it's all over.
Exactly.
You know, part of the work as an independent contractor or performer, even probably if you're a plumber, it's one thing to get the work. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to get paid for the work. So many times I'm trying to chase money down.
Well, what's that like? I mean, is it just them saying, I'll get it to you, it's in the mail, or them just saying, like, I don't owe you anything?
It's really just a lot of excuses. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, people are just so bad at follow through. Mm-hmm. So somebody hires me to do a job, and I say, hey, I did the job. There we go. Where's my check? Yeah. Oh, yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. The manager has to approve. And then 2 weeks later, I call him up. Hey, you got the check ready? Oh, you know, the district manager has to come along and approve. You know, so we got to allocate these funds. And it's just excuse after excuse after excuse. Mm-hmm. Believe me, when I receive a check on schedule, I'm so grateful. You know, we unfortunately as a culture are just used to mediocre service. Like, mm-hmm. if people just do the bare minimum, we go, oh, isn't that so wonderful? Like,
right, right.
Oh, the cashier said, hello, sir, and thank you. Wow. You know, right. We're so impressed by that.
Despite their scowl.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing I find is chasing down copy as well. If you're an actor, and you get – one thing I try to do, because I've been in many commercials as well, mm-hmm. I try to contact the person – right on the day of the shoot. Who's the person I contact about getting footage of this, getting a copy of this? Oftentimes, editors are good. If I can somehow get in contact with the editor, and I usually find that they're very nice. But I'll find somebody to contact. And then what I'll do is I'll then chase them down and get them to, I'll get them to promise me, yeah, we'll get you the footage. Yes, contact me. And then a month later, I chase them down. And I'm chasing people down constantly to get footage of the work that I've done.
You know, there's one time, I don't think I've told this story on here, but back when I was doing auditions, I got an email from somebody who said, I saw your headshot on Now Casting. I'm doing a sort of detective noir kind of short, and I'd really like to have you come in and read for a part. And here's my phone number, it said.
Yeah.
So I call the person, and they're obviously a young kid, like high school age.
Yeah.
And I'd actually booked something that I was shooting on the day that they wanted me to come in an audition. And they're like, well, please come and try to do it anyway. I'd really like to see you. And I said, okay. So I end up going to the audition, and it's at this really nice office in Beverly Hills, and it's these high school kids, and we do the audition, and they like me, and they cast me in the thing, and I find out that this kid, his dad, is the president of the fifth largest talent agency in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is that the top four are all partners.
Yeah.
Several people that own this company. This company is owned by this one guy.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, I end up doing the thing, and
oh, so you got the part, and
I got the part. Yeah. And I have a scene with the president of this talent agency.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Sure.
But anyway, I mean, the thing went fine, and
what was it? It was a feature?
No, it was a short film. For, yeah. I don't know what this kid was, if it was just him wanting to do a project. And I mean, like, yeah. he had all his own equipment that he, like, got for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, you know, stuff that would cost thousands of dollars a day to rent.
Sure.
He's got, you know. Yeah. And I think I pissed the kid off at some point. Because I was talking to the actress and saying, like, yeah, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to do this because it's, you know, these kids, we didn't know.
Sure.
And she was like, yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Not knowing that we were fully mic'd.
Oh.
So anyway, I never got that. I would love to have seen.
So what, you never even saw it?
I never saw it.
And have you Googled and everything? You've tried to find this or at least see it?
I haven't Googled it. I guess maybe I should, but the problem is I don't even know what it was called.
Did you get paid?
No. I was never going to get paid. I mean, like, there was no money.
Okay, so it was going to be a freebie. But yeah. it was going to be a freebie, but you didn't get... Never Come on, Zach!
In fact, the guy called me, like, a year later to reshoot a scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, dude. You know, and I was being very polite because I didn't know if he had heard what I said, but I thought maybe he did.
Sure.
And he was like, yeah, I'll have a rough cut to you in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Never heard from him again.
Yeah. But you said you got a call.
Well, we did the shoot.
Yeah, and then like, a year later he called you.
Yes.
You have caller ID.
Dude, I texted him. I called him. Never responded.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know the kid.
Yeah.
But I imagine, you know, he's well off.
Sure.
He gets things for Christmas that, you know,
yeah.
people, you know, work their whole lives to try to afford.
Yeah. But the problem is with doing stuff for free as performers, as actors, mm-hmm. is you do, I've done many student films and all, is you do the work for free mm-hmm. in the hopes that you're going to have some footage in your hand.
Yes.
And oftentimes, they just may never complete it. I mean, I've chased people down. Hey, whatever happened to that video that I did? They go, oh, I stopped doing it. One girl, she was an aspiring director. She filmed this video. Well, and then I chase her down. Hey, where's the copy like you promised? Oh, I have a drug problem and I'm on the streets now. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but what the hell? I didn't get paid. I didn't get a copy. I got nothing. Mm-hmm.
Funny thing is that I was a temp for a bit, and I end up working at that agency in the mailroom for a week. And I'm walking to my car one day, and I run into the president of the agency, and I'm like, hey.
The guy you did the scene with.
Yes. And he goes, oh, yeah, I saw the thing. You're really good in it. And I'm like, oh, I never saw it.
Yeah.
And he said something as he was walking away, and I kind of didn't really catch what he said. And then when we got to his floor, he kind of turned around and looked at me, like, expectantly.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, have a good night. And he kind of said, you know, kind of nodded and walked off. And I was walking down to my car, and I thought he said, I have a copy in my car. But it was too late. It was too late.
Why?
I can't help it. I you get nervous in those sort of situations where it's like, you know, you don't want to seem like a weirdo, you know. So I didn't know what to say.
Zach, you're a very nice person.
It's all a ruse.
No, see, I can be aggressive. I may piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
I want what you promised me.
Mm-hmm.
You promised me money, or you promised me footage, or you promised me a link, or you promised me a link to a YouTube page. You mm-hmm. promised me something you haven't delivered. Why not? You know, so I'll become an asshole and annoy people after a while. Mm-hmm. But eventually I might give up, sure. Eventually I might give up, but I'm going to get out there and try to make it happen.
Well, it was like the first – I'd been here maybe like 2 years, you know. And
from where?
From Texas.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, like I haven't gone on auditions in a while, like frequently. I mean, I'll go on one here and there. But I feel like if I were to go on more commercial auditions now, I would understand – I would be better at them. Because when I was doing them, when I had a commercial agent and everything, I was so concerned with like – Well, first of all, it's weird shit. Like, I had one audition where I had to come in and, like, eat food out of a dog bowl.
Yeah.
You know, or...
Were you allowed to use your hands or you couldn't use your...
And it's just this kind of abstract stuff because they're commercials.
Sure.
And sometimes the writing is so bad, it's hard to wrap your mind around, like, well, how do they expect this to be done?
Yes.
And I don't know. I just had a problem with it. I think I'd maybe be better at it now, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like in your head and all that stuff.
Well, I haven't. I was in a dry spell for a while. I didn't have an audition for a while. You know what's very interesting is I hadn't had an audition for a while, and then recently, you know, in real life, I'm a 38-year-old Latino toy collector. That is one of my profiles.
Okay.
I went on an audition for a 30 to 45-year-old Latino toy maker.
Okay.
Didn't get it.
Oh man. Well, how was the copy? I mean, like, You've gone to auditions before, right? You're just like, I don't even know how to say this.
Well, it depends on what it is. You know, this is an industrial. Industrial is all about the verbiage. I've been in about 25 industrials. Now, for the layperson, an industrial is a corporate training video.
Yes.
Maybe you start, like, for example, I've done a couple of videos for Union Bank, and I portray in the videos a loan officer. Mm-hmm. So when a loan officer starts their new job at Union Bank, they sit down, they watch a video. I'm in the video portraying, what was my name? Kevin Alvarez, loan officer. So an industrial or a corporate training video is what these things are called. I've been in about 20, 25 of them. So this, yeah, so this was an industrial with a lot of technical jargon, but my character was a toy builder who was frustrated with his job because he's used to making toys for little kids, not action figures for adolescents, and so I'm frustrated. So that was my role. And in real
the
life
bank?
What's that?
In the Union Bank?
No. Sorry.
It's like, that's quite a backstory.
No. In the Union Bank, I play a loan officer.
Sure.
This one was from sort of like, well, what a lot of these corporations are doing now is they're doing these personality tests. Mm-hmm. Very similar to Scientology personality tests, but at an even greater level.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is they're hiring new applicants. They're sitting them down in front of a computer, and they're having them look at videos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you remember as a kid, do you ever read the Choose Your Own Adventure books?
Absolutely.
Okay, I used to love those. So these are very similar to that, where they would sit down and they go, oh, okay, look at this toy company.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are functioning. Oh, here's the toy maker. Oh, he's frustrating with his job. Let's hear what he has to say. I'm real frustrated with my job. My managers are always riding my butt. And then stop. Do you send him to the district manager? And you answer all these questions. And then based on how you answer these questions, the company creates a profile for you and figures, well, you're good in human resources. You're good in sales. Or you know what? Thank you for applying today.
Right.
They do something. So this was what corporate, like, sort of a
you
pre-screening.
You chose punch in face. You are dismissed.
Yeah, exactly. There's like a little in front of there. So this was a training. This was a video to create sort of that screening process. And it paid very well, though. Some of these industrials paid pretty well. This would have paid me $500 a day for 5 days' work.
Jeez.
Yeah, it would have been wonderful. I was all excited, like, all right, I need the money, right?
Yeah.
So, but no, I didn't get it. I did not get it.
Do you get these auditions yourself, or do you have representation?
I do have representation. Gail Marks, Daily Talent, a small boutique agency, I call it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Because, see, I was with a mid-sized commercial agency, and over the course of 4 years while I was there, I had four different agents because they kept leaving for different reasons. And every time, I'd have to go all the way to Studio City to introduce myself again and try to build this relationship.
Yeah.
And it was just such a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And finally, one guy came in and just dropped the whole roster and brought in his own people from a different company, I guess.
So you were dismissed by your agency?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for a while, I liked to believe that I was a big fish in a small pond because I guess she's sort of a small, literal mom-and-pop agency, Daily Talent out of Vegas. I thought I was getting a lot of work. For a while there, I was on a great run.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a great run. I could count on a commercial or industrial a month. Literally, I could
book one.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I could count on booking a commercial or industrial per month. Lately, oh boy, maybe that's why I'm going back into stand-up comedy. You know, because I'm like, hey, I haven't had any actual work. Let me just get up on stage and talk some shit.
Right. Well, so what's your plan with that then? Since you, how long has it been since you've done a show?
Oh, how long has it been since I've done a show?
Let me think about that. Be open mic or just a book show, whatever. Been on stage.
I'll tell you one. Last Saturday, I did a show at The Spot in Culver City, which has a great show booked by this guy, Eddie Ed O'Brien. I did some stand-up at this place. It's called The Spot in Culver City.
I think it's
National or Overland.
It's on Overland.
Yeah, so I did a spot there. It went really well. And tonight, I'll be at Stage 2, formerly called The Annex Room at the Ice House in Pasadena.
Okay.
That's Dave McNary's room.
Okay, tonight. I didn't even know The Spot was doing booked shows.
Yeah. It's you know what? It's a real good show. It's a nice crowd.
Was it a Saturday?
It was a Saturday night.
Somebody else was telling me about that show. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, contact Eddie Ed. Tell him you're a friend of mine.
Okay.
It's a fun show. It's a good show. It's a supportive
and
crowd.
It's local to me. That's another thing, man. Is like especially going to like you know, even something in Long Beach. I mean, like that's a drive. You know.
Yeah. Well, where do you live?
West LA.
Okay.
So going to an open mic in like North Hollywood or something like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's like a 3-hour commitment.
But it's no different because I live in North Hollywood. Uh-huh. So I mean, I used to drive. I went lazy for a while, but I used to drive to Torrance. My buddy Chris Z, you know Chris Z.
He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, Chris Z will drive to San Diego for a 10-minute spot. I mean, you know, it depends on how.
Oh, Chris, yeah, he'll basically do anything.
He has a solid work ethic, you know.
Sure.
Luckily, he kind of drags me along, you know, and I'm kind of like, okay, I'll go with you, you know.
Yeah, I feel like you two are like. Doing stuff all over the place.
Well, and since you mentioned it, you mentioned it or did I mention it? Chris Z and I have a radio show. It's called Registered Ear Offenders on SkidRowStudios.com Fridays, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Awesome.
It's a brand new show.
He was when he was on, he was talking about the beginning stages of that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, well, the way it started was Chris invited me. Oh, somehow Chris got wrapped up with these guys, this guy Drew Marks, who hosts a show at Skid Row Studios called Bad Advice. So Chris would be a commentator on that. It's basically like Dear Abby, but we give bad advice and cuss and everything. So he was doing that. He invited me. I started doing that show as a commentator. Then the spinoff of that, or maybe associated with that, was a show called The Weekly Wrap-Up, similar to Bill Maher, similar to Jon Stewart, riff on the news. So Chris and I would kind of do that as regular commentators, you know, at separate days. And then, as a result of doing these shows, we became acquainted with the owner of Skid Row Studios and said, hey, how about Chris and I have a show? And then we came up with Registered Ear Offenders. We talk about personal stories, personal anecdotes. We have a guest on. We interview them and so forth, get them to promote whatever they're doing. So we started Registered Ear Offenders. We had our second episode this last Friday, and we'll have our third episode this coming Sunday, this coming Friday, with the host of Bad Advice, Mr. Drew Marks.
Awesome. So this is a weekly show then?
Yes, it is a weekly show broadcast out of downtown.
How long is the show? Do you guys aim for a certain time?
Yeah, yeah. We're in and out in an hour. We go on at 1, we're done at 2. They're real strict, like 1 o'clock on the air, 2 o'clock off the air.
Yeah, some of those podcasts, man, it's like an hour and a half, you know, 2 hours an episode. It's like, oh my God, man.
Well, no, I think it would be great because an hour, it goes by fast.
Exactly.
I mean, look, we're already at 22 minutes in, and this is going to be over right when we're getting warmed up.
Dude, we're 25 minutes in.
Oh, shit, my clock is slow.
I mean, time's flying when you have fun. My point.
Yeah, I'm having a good time.
But you know what would make it even better?
Oh.
A little cereal.
Wait, hang on. Before you know, I would like to give you a little gift on the air. You know, I am a action figure collector. I have many. Okay. I mean, I got hundreds.
Sure.
And then I started getting into die-cast cars as well. So I got several die-cast vehicles.
Like Hot Wheels?
Hot Wheels, Matchbox, Maisto, Road Signature, you name it, I've got from all different scales.
I had a huge suitcase of those.
Did you? So what I've got here is I've got a refrigerator magnet that is a hood of a NASCAR vehicle that is a Cheerios.
Awesome.
So it is a Cheerios NASCAR hood refrigerator magnet.
Thank you so much. I'll have to take a picture and post it on the website. Where'd you get that? Just out of the box?
I think I bought a NASCAR diecast vehicle, and that came with it, like, as a promotion.
That's awesome, dude. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, you had mentioned granola, that you were into granola type things. And, I don't know if that is...
No, you know what? I should have emailed you. I just cracked a molar the other day.
Oh, yeah?
It wasn't on That's granola, okay. though. I got to chew with my left side.
What do you want? You don't have to have any.
No, just, what are you talking about? It's part of the...
I'm just making sure.
I know. I it's 1 o'clock. I need breakfast.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, we've only been up for what, an hour and a half?
An hour and a half I've been awake, man.
Now, there, I got a new cereal, actually, because I saw the commercial, and I thought that sounds interesting. Crunchy Nut, Kellogg's Crunchy Nut, which is maybe the most generic name of a cereal I've ever heard in my life.
Well, they were originally going to call it Kellogg's Bust-A-Nut.
Oh, yeah? But that was taken or just too risque?
It is a little too risque for Kellogg's.
Now, the interesting thing is I didn't see this until after I bought it. Well, first of all, there's nuts in every bite, which is a little risque.
Well, it's a generational thing, you know? The guys who invented it didn't think about
it. They're probably in their 80s, at least. Yeah.
They don't realize that nut has taken on a new connotation.
I'm pretty sure this is a new cereal. Like, it's the commercial, and there's like a superhero, maybe you fast-forwarded through it recently.
I haven't seen that. Every time I watch a YouTube video, when it gets to the point where it says skip ad, skip ad.
Totally. Now, the little description here at the bottom says, golden flakes of corn, drizzled, which, again, is a little questionable, drizzled with honey and topped with real peanuts. Now, is that A, weird? B, is that going to be a problem for you?
It doesn't say facialized with honey?
No, unfortunately. It doesn't say glazed. none of that verbiage. But they're towing a fine line, at the very least.
I'll take it, Ben. No, I'll try it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Taking
one and we're going to review it?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, how else are people going to know whether or not this is worth their time?
Yeah, of course.
If anything, it's a service.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to try this cereal here.
You want to take a look?
Let me see here. Let me look at the consistency. Yellow. You know, you got to do like to do with the with what do they do with the raisins in the commercial where they have a handful of raisins and they look at them. This is a handful of flakes.
Yeah, it's like a close up, a hero shot of the flakes.
Yeah, it looks really good. There are little pieces of nuts on them, and these flakes are actually golden. They are actually golden. So,
I know,
yeah.
They're very yellowish brown.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to trying a golden honey nut. Yeah.
Now, are you a milk guy with your cereal, or?
MILFs? Yeah, I like MILFs.
Well, who doesn't? But what about with milk?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know what I used to do as a kid in elementary school?
What's that?
At Telfair Elementary School in Pacoima, California. I would put orange juice in my cornflakes, particularly really? Wheaties.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you know what? I enjoyed it in elementary school. Never since, but in elementary school,
well,
I used to do that.
Did you just kind of stop doing that, or and then remember one day, hey, I haven't done this in a while and tried it? Or,
well, because I think at school I can get away with it. If I try to do it at home, my mother would say, what the hell are you doing, put milk in there. But at school, you know,
traditionalist.
Yeah, so but at school, no, my mom wasn't around. Crunching is happening.
That is an interesting flavor.
Now wait, now what made you select this particular cereal?
Because I saw the commercial and I thought it would be interesting to do a new cereal. Because most of the ones that I do are, you know, ones everyone are aware of.
Oh, this is a new cereal.
Yeah.
Got it.
Like, I don't think it's been around very long. At least that's what the commercial makes it seem.
I enjoy eating out of a paper bowl with a plastic spoon. I'm reminded that I'm on a set and we're eating from Kraft
exactly.
Service.
Yeah, if only they'd come out of a brown paper bag to complete the... What do you think?
I like it. It does have the traditional taste of Kellogg's cornflakes with some sweetness and with some nuttiness. So if you like Kellogg's cornflakes, but you like a little sweet kick, which
it
I like.
It definitely tastes like peanuts. Huh. I don't think I would purchase it for myself.
No?
No. It's okay. I'm a little disappointed. But you'd eat it?
I'll gladly take the box off your hands.
Dude, you're more than welcome. It's not bad, by any means. I just think I've never associated peanut with cereal.
Well, you have the right audience with me, I'll tell you, Zach, because I oftentimes will pour a bowl of cereal and add diced nuts to it.
Really? Any particular kind of nuts?
The reason I do that, well, sometimes mixed nuts, cashews, almonds, peanuts. The reason I do that is because it'll add some fat to it, and then I'll be satisfied longer. It's called satiating me. So it'll satiate me longer than if I just have the cereal alone. I'll be hungry 30 minutes later.
It's more filling.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting too about this being a new cereal and everything? I don't think you could come out with a new cereal and have like a cartoon mascot. You know what I mean?
Aren't they making laws about that with the children?
Are you serious?
I think they're making these laws that these sugary kids cereals aren't allowed to use cartoon mascots anymore. You know, part of the anti-obesity campaign and all that. Anti-bestiality.
Yeah, what did you say?
No, the anti-obesity campaigns.
Oh, anti-obesity.
Yeah, the anti-obesity campaigns are saying like...
Freudian slip there.
Like, for example, yeah, exactly. Like, you can't have... you remember, it started with Joe Camel.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't have a cartoon character advertising cigarettes. They're trying to take that same philosophy
sense.
As you can't have a cartoon character advertising sugary cereals.
Oh, that's I don't agree with that at all.
I don't agree. I think Joe Camel should be allowed to advertise cigarettes.
Well, but I mean, to me, part of the fun of cereal is the mascots, you know? I mean, what are you more likely to purchase? A crunchy nut with just a picture of some flakes on the front? Or one with a freaking tiger saying, like, hey, man, these are pretty good.
You're not allowed to say his actual line. You might get sued.
I know, right?
They're good.
They're not bad. Which, by the way, you cannot get away with that as a phrase anymore. They're great?
No, I'll tell you why you can. Have you looked at the Yoplait yogurt campaign in the last couple of years?
No.
Here's how stupid it is. I swear to God, somebody got paid for this. Yoplait yogurt, it's so good. That's the slogan. It's so good.
Yeah, I guess you got a point there. In fact, I have heard that.
Who's not getting fired for this?
But that's, you know what's interesting? Because I work in advertising, and these companies don't know what they want.
Yeah.
They think they know what they want, but they don't understand oftentimes how video works, how advertising works.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm generalizing, but the company that I work for, that's kind of how it is.
You work in advertising, yet you're complaining you haven't had any commercial work? What the hell? Who aren't you sleeping with?
Well, they're not so much like, we do all the commercials and videos and stuff like in-house. Like we hire out a production company, and it's the guy that runs the company doesn't like people in the videos.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird.
How about voiceover?
He's cool with voiceover, but he can't really decide. Sometimes he wants an infomercial sound. Sometimes he wants like a NASCAR guy. Yeah. So it's back and forth over there.
You know, another horrible advertising campaign. I really it baffles me. Orkin, I think it's Orkin or Terminex.
Okay.
Exterminating company. Mm-hmm. It just says Orkin exterminating. Termites are monsters. Have you seen that one?
No.
That's it. That's just like. They're people. They're monsters. We can't do anything about them. I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, guys sit down and write this stuff and get paid.
Get paid for it. I hear you, man. Well, I mentioned this before, but I actually left my car insurance because I hated their commercials. Progressive.
Yeah?
The commercials I infuriated me so much just at how unfunny they were. Like, you could tell where the joke was.
Yeah.
But it's just like it was something you'd heard in the third grade.
Wait, which ones are the Progressive commercials?
It's the one with Flo.
Flo.
And they're in like the white thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Flo. Yes.
Yeah. I hate those commercials.
Yeah.
But now I'm paying less anyway, so you know, works out.
Well, I gotta tell you, I'm not so crazy about when the person becomes just the pillar, the mainstay, mm-hmm. like the Verizon guy.
I was just thinking, immediately
would go. Yeah, come on. After a while, I go, come on. Think of something else. But now they got this new girl. T-Mobile has that new girl.
The pink dress?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of getting annoyed with her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, anytime, exactly. It's that because all of those are sort of a ripoff of the Mac PC commercials.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the thing where the first one is kind of cool. You know, you're into it. But then, like, anytime it's a copy, it's just like, it only works the one time for me. Kind of like I love Green Day. Yeah. But I hate any band that sounds like Green Day.
Yeah. Do you know the names of any bands that sound... You're sitting next to a stack of CDs. Mm-hmm. Are there any groups there that sound like Green Day, do you think?
You know what? I don't know, but... Let's see. The Descendants, that sounds kind of Green Day. It kind of sounds
That sounds Green Day-ish. Yeah. What kind of radio show is this? Because I'm noticing Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Radiohead...
You know what? I think it's just there's so many shows on the station that are music related. I think it's just whatever people bring in here and want to put on. You can literally do a show about anything. I should do a show about obscure heavy metal bands. What I should do?
Are you a fan of obscure heavy metal bands?
Yes, I have a blog that I do on my website, zackforreal.com.
Yeah.
Metal Mondays.
And that's Zack. Let me clarify, because you know I think I've made the mistake because I've met guys named Zach, Zach.
Yes.
I think Zach. Galifianakis is Zach, isn't he?
He is. And that's the thing, is a lot of people are shocked, frankly, that I spell my name with a CK. And
no, your name is the original way,
yes,
I think.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The thing is that Zach is literally just... Z-A-C-K is Zach.
Yes.
Z-A-C-H is short for Zachary.
Yes, okay. So you're not Zachary.
No, just Zach. And the thing that sucks about... Well, not sucks, but is interesting about being named Zach is if I'm anywhere within earshot of a conversation... going on somewhere and somebody says exactly,
I always look. You turn around.
Yeah. Well, because you know, you say exactly. It's like, what? It actually took me a while to figure out that's what people were saying. I thought people were like, I remember like in the second grade, I'm like, what is going on?
No, actually it was a Chinese person saying Zachary.
yes. Ed is Ed Zachary. Anyway. How you doing, man?
Good, man. We just had some dead air there for a second.
It's true.
Now, we are live. I just want to make sure that we're live because I put this out on Facebook. And you know when you put stuff on Facebook, just blows up.
There's people listening.
Really?
Yeah, I got a little monitor there.
You can tell that people are listening?
Uh-huh.
Don't tell me how many. Because I don't want to be like nervous or disappointed.
Well, it's double digits.
Wow.
Yeah.
You officially have more listeners than registered ear offenders on Skid Row Studios on Fridays 1 to 2.
Really? Well, that's but you guys are new. I mean, you got to build the.
Well, how long has your show been on?
A couple months.
Okay.
I lose track. I mean, like, it's kind of because there were two or 3 weeks where I recorded the show and it didn't actually work. But yeah. I've worked through those bugs.
Can you see one thing we have access to at our studio, and you might have it, is the graph that shows when people tune in and when they tune out. And then you can match that up to what we were exactly talking about at the time. Like, as soon as we started eating cereal, it went up.
Or plummeted. No, it literally just has a number, listeners and a number.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's something.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, what's your strategy now for coming back into stand-up? I mean, do you have enough relationships with bookers and stuff to where you can just kind of get back into booking shows?
Well, here's the good thing. You know, so it started out with stand-up comedy for me. And then I went into acting. I went into hosting, all these industrials and all that, comedic art auctioneer and all that. So... Oh, and you know, ironically, on the set of a commercial, the kid who played my son on a commercial for St. Leo University, his dad is a real-life DJ out of Santa Clarita who tells me, hey, I'm a DJ, I do weddings, I don't like being on the microphone, I hate being on the microphone, can you be a wedding MC for me? And I go, sure.
And so, like, he'll pay you to do it.
He's hired me several times. Wow. To do weddings. That's so awesome. I've been a wedding MC all around Antelope Valley, Valencia. He specializes in that area.
All right, so now you're MCing at weddings.
Yes.
Notoriously known for available ladies.
You know, you would think.
Yeah, not so much.
My experience as a wedding MC is that you're prominent yet invisible. Mm. You're there to just kind of, I consider myself like a ringleader.
Sure.
You know, like, I'm there to make sure that
In the valley.
Yeah, well, I'm there to make sure that the conga line starts at 9:45, that the Macarena starts at 10 o'clock, that the garter toss starts at 10:15. So I'm there to keep everything in line, in check, along with the DJ and his schedule.
Well, you're not going to be picking up chicks during the festivities, of course, but afterwards, I got to imagine a couple of drunk ladies will come up and say, hey, I'm not going home with anybody. You were pretty good tonight.
You know what? I got to tell you from my personal experience, before I ever became a wedding MC, when I was a guest at weddings...
As a comic?
No, no.
Oh, as a
just attendant. As a friend of the groom or bride.
Sure.
When I used to be just a mere guest at a wedding, I would pick up.
Really?
Yes, because yes, people are in that romantic mode. Girls are feeling, oh, when am I going to get married? You know,
yeah. I didn't catch the bouquet.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you see, anybody that's ever been to a wedding knows that when it's time for the bouquet toss, women will kill each other for that bouquet. When it's time for the garter toss, guys will jump out of the way for the garter.
Yes, yes.
So women, I don't know what it is about weddings. It makes women all romantic
Even
and horny.
Catching the bouquet means nothing. I'm sorry.
No, and it's true. If I had my way, when it's time, single ladies come up to the floor and catch the bouquet, and then you have these little girls come up that are like 10. I go, come
she's
on.
She's getting married next.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she's starting her menstrual cycle any day now. But you know what, though? I wouldn't have them. I would just have, you know, 16 and older, depending on where you are.
Sure.
But what I found, though, is when I used to be a guest at weddings, literally I used to pick up. I used to look forward to going to weddings for that reason. Since I started working at a wedding as a paid entertainer, so to speak, no, nothing.
Interesting.
Nothing at all. I at the end of the night, I've eaten, I've drinking. A lot of these weddings have open bars, and I'm free to drink, and so it's a great time. I go there, I have a great time. They're loads of fun. I got to tell you, being a wedding MC is one of the funnest things you'll do as an entertainer. I think.
I'll bet, man.
It is so much fun.
Probably not a lot of pressure.
Well, my only pressure is keeping things on schedule.
Sure.
That's my only pressure. Oh, you're going to give... Oh, the best man's going to give a speech? Okay, it's got to happen right now. Where's the best man? So I'm like... I'm running around. I'm talking to the caterer. Hey, we're a little delayed on the bouquet toss, so give us a little bit more time for dinner. Whatever it is.
Wow.
So I'm running around all over the place, but it's a great time. But at the end of the night, I'm handed cash. I'm out of there.
Unlike some of those other places you were talking about.
What, when I used to be a guest?
Well, no, like the you know, chasing people down.
Oh, yeah, no, this DJ is wonderful. I love him. If I can plug him, it's called Party Planners Plus of Santa Clarita. I think he's in Canyon Country, to be specific. And so he hires me as his wedding MC. I have a great time. He pays me cash at the end of the night. I'm a happy camper. I love this guy. His name is Hector Rodas. I say thank you, and I'm out of there, and I go home. You know, and there's nothing like... being on a high, coming home, cleaning my litter box. That's
of course.
That's what I do. I come home, I clean
just
my
relaxing.
Litter box. Yeah.
Well, do you do that high, or is that like a sober activity?
I have not, you know, because I'm working And because I'm representing him, I'm representing Party Planners Plus. I'm not just representing me,
sure.
Sal Rodriguez. If I were only representing me, maybe so.
I meant cleaning the litter box. I wouldn't imagine you'd work high.
Well, I've done stand-up high.
Really?
I've done stand-up high. Yeah, I have.
Well, what was your experience with that? I mean, how did it go? How did it turn out for you?
Well, I'll tell you what happened is I went to go see a show. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to smoke out and see a show, sit in the crowd, laugh, and have a great time.
Yeah.
I'm big on having a great time. I always like to have fun.
Sure.
So I was like, I'm just going to get high. I'm going to watch the show, right? So the guy comes up to me, Dave Corrado.
Okay.
Dave Corrado comes up to me. He goes, hey, Sal, somebody canceled. Do you want to take their spot? I go, no, man. I just came here to watch the show. I didn't come here to perform. He goes, come on. Take their spot. I said, shit, fine. I was scared as hell. I'd never done stand-up high, ever.
Uh-huh.
I was scared. I went up. It was awesome. It was an awesome time. I think because my inhibitions were down. Mm-hmm. Maybe as soon as I grabbed the microphone, I didn't care.
But you have, at this point, I mean, like, you've been doing stand-up 10
years? In about eight, nine years.
8, 9 years.
Yes.
I mean, like, you got stuff that you can pretty much stone, drunk. You got your stuff. You can pull it at any point, right?
Well, I think, and this is going back to, I think, my original point from a few years ago. Even though I took a break from stand-up, mm-hmm. I was still had a microphone in my hand. I still was on stage. I was hosting.
Sure.
I was the mainstay host for the LA United Film Festival, which was an annual event, short filmmakers, independent films. I was the host moderator. So even though I wasn't doing stand-up, quote-unquote.
It's a lot of the same.
Yeah, stuff. I was on stage. I was in front of crowds. I am confident. So even though I'm coming back to stand up, I'm having to remember my material. I just lost my notes. Like the last 6 months I was with notes. Like now I'm finally like I didn't do the last two shows with any notes. Tonight I'm not going to have any notes. I'm going to be free. So even though I wasn't doing stand up, I still had that confidence. So at this point in time, it's just a question of just memorizing.
How much crowd work do you do up front, or do you just go right into your material?
It depends on how long my sets are. My longest sets were when I went overseas to Japan, mm-hmm. and when I went overseas to the Middle East, mm-hmm. to perform for our troops.
Mm-hmm.
AFE, Armed Forces Entertainment, which is the parent company of the USO. Mm-hmm. So AFE specializes in the non-celebrity entertainers, and the USO specializes in the celebrity entertainers. So like Robin Williams will be sent by the USO, AFE will send myself and Chrissy. I went with Chrissy to the Middle East,
yeah.
along with Debbie Lockhart.
Okay.
I went with G. Riley.
Like an interesting show.
Yeah, I went with G. Riley and Ernie G. to Japan. So essentially, my longest sets were 20, 25 minutes. In the Middle East, I was doing like 20, 27 minutes. If I have that much time, I'll do some crowd work. I got 25 minutes up here. Fine, you want to mess around with the crowd for, you know, 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
If I'm like tonight, I got 10 minutes on stage. I got no time to do crowd work.
Yeah.
I'm there to get up on there, do my material. If there's a heckler, I just want to shut them down real quick. I don't got time to waste with hecklers. I don't have time to do much crowd work because that 10 minutes is going to fly by.
Yeah.
So my mentality is the longer I got on stage, the more crowd work I'll do. Short spots, these 7, 8 minute spots that are all over town, I don't got time for crowd work when I'm doing seven totally. Minutes.
I hear you, man. I'd like to thank you for coming in, Sal Rodriguez.
Are we done?
I told you, man. It freaking flies.
It's only I only got 1:45, man. We got 15 more minutes here.
Oh, you want to keep going?
Well, yeah, why not? I drove all the way over here to Echo Park from North Hollywood.
In that case, man, yeah, let's keep going.
I'm pressuring the host to keep a show on.
No, I don't mind, actually. You know what? The thing is, though, I feel like if people are going to listen to something.
Wait, hang on. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you just lost a bunch of listeners and you're like, okay, that's our show. And I'm like, no, come on. I don't see the same screen you do. I don't see
the same amount as before are still listening.
Well, then what the hell are we ending the show for?
Because I record these and I put them on my Facebook and webpage and stuff.
Yes.
And they're on iTunes. You can subscribe on iTunes, damn it, if you'd like. Breakfast with Comics, just search it. And everything's pretty much automatic from there, I think. But if people look at a show and they think, oh, man, a freaking hour?
Yes.
Who's got the time?
hour is so long. An hour in 2012 is like 4 hours in 1995.
I'm not sure what your analogy is.
My analogy is that an hour is longer now than it used to be.
Exactly. So 45 minutes, it's like, well, I could maybe do 45 minutes.
Exactly. No, and that's why I only have sex for 5 minutes. Because mm-hmm. nowadays you have sex for 5 minutes, the woman thinks you're having sex for 30 minutes.
Exactly. Well, by your, I guess it would be 20 minutes. Yes.
5 minutes would be 20.
Yes.
And can I just say one thing? This is one thing I do like to say.
Yeah.
Is when you get these shows, like for example, this show you got on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
and then you can put it on your phone,
mm-hmm.
and you can listen to it while you're driving.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're not stuck in front of a computer. Just because something's on iTunes and you put it on your computer doesn't mean you're stuck in front of a computer. You can listen. One thing I do is I enjoy listening to podcasts on my phone while I'm driving.
You just put it in your seat and just let it play, or you got headphones?
I got a little earpiece, you know. By the way, just as a note, you cannot have a right and left earphones on while you drive.
Is that the law?
That is the law.
Because I see so many people with headphones. Cops don't seem to give a shit one way or another.
Cops don't maybe don't notice, but they can, or maybe they won't pull you over because of it, but what they will add it on to. Mm. I've had police officers tell me, I've spoken with police officers because I like to know the law to see what I can get away with. Sure. Well, so essentially, no, you're allowed to have one. You cannot have two.
Interesting.
So even though an iPhone will sell you, when you buy the phone, they'll sell you the headphones, they have two, you can only wear one while you drive. So I'm usually driving around with one in my right ear. Mm-hmm. And then I'll listen to podcasts while I'm driving. So it's a great time. So I'm not stuck in front of the computer listening, spending 45 minutes
know,
in front of the
my
computer.
Goodness. Well, who do you, what podcast you listen to? You like,
Well, I'm going to start listening to Breakfast with Comics.
You should.
Yeah.
I hear it's very good.
I heard it's awesome. And Zach Posada's awesome. He's got a ketchup from Whataburger. Now, you know, I first saw Whataburger. He's got a Whataburger t-shirt.
Which is the best fast food.
I first saw when I traveled the Southwest. I used to date a girl that lived in New Mexico. We drive out to New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, and I would see Whataburger. I don't think we have Whataburger out here.
When I found out, after I was going to move out here, I found out that they didn't have Whataburgers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really struggled with that for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I love Whataburger, and anyone that has tried both will tell you that it's better than In-N-Out. And I like In-N-Out out here too, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Whataburger, anytime I go back to Texas, I land at the airport, go to Whataburger.
And you like it more than Sonic?
Oh yeah.
Okay. And we don't have it out here, right? There's no Whataburger.
The closest one I believe is in Phoenix, Arizona.
But I heard there's one in Mexico now. Guadalajara Burger.
Agua Burger. What is burger in Spanish?
I wish I knew, man. I don't speak Spanish.
Oh really?
I wish I did. You know how many commercials? I swear to you. I've done a commercial. I forgot what it was. I did a commercial, and they go, "Hey Sal, come back tomorrow and do it in Spanish." And I go, "No." I've lost money. I've lost money because I don't speak Spanish.
Oh, that's sick. Do you know Al Madrigal?
Yeah, sure.
He has a bit about comedians or Mexican Americans that don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And it's the only word you know is poquito.
Poquito. ¿Quieres cebolla? Oh, poquito. That was, do you want onions? Yes, a little bit. I actually did, years ago, when I first started stand-up, when I would hear about like free stand-up comedy workshop, I was like, yeah. So I went, and Al Madrigal was one of the instructors.
Really?
Yes. Him and along with another comic, I forgot who the other comic was, but him and another comic did this free workshop. I think the idea was to then hook us to sign up for more classes.
Sure.
But I took the one class, you know, I think I learned a little bit. And then, you know, I ran off. But I remember Al Madrigal. Very nice guy, by the way.
I was a PA on a pilot that he did, or he was in. And he was very nice. Also got to meet Raquel Welch. Ooh. Which, I mean, that's, you know, pretty cool.
How old is she now?
60-something.
Would you sleep with her?
Probably not.
Really?
If someone was,
you would not sleep with Raquel Welch just to say you did.
Maybe just for the bragging rights, I suppose. But we were driving back to base camp, whatever the crap. And I had time to ask her one question.
Wow.
And
what was it?
I said, "Did you know that they were going to use your poster in Shawshank Redemption?"
And what'd she say?
She said, "Yeah, they had to ask my manager for permission." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool."
No, hey, listen, since you're sharing,
yeah.
My celebrity conversation, I used to do a lot of extra work in my teenage years. I had a fake ID, and even though I was a teenager, I was an 18-year-old on my ID, and I used to do a lot of extra work. I mean, you name it, I was on it, Last Action Hero, Die Hard 2, whatever. I mean, I was on all kinds of stuff. I worked a lot. From like the ages of like 16 to 20, I worked a lot as an extra.
But you lived out. You were living
I lived out. Out. Yo, I grew up in Los Angeles. So I'm on the set of The Bodyguard.
Okay.
And I'd heard lots of stories that Kevin Costner used to do extra work. I used to hear the extras were like, "Oh yeah, he used to be an extra." And you hear that, but you don't know if it's true. So I went up to him. I said, "Excuse me." I said, "Mr. Costner, may I ask you a question?" He goes, "Yeah, sure." I said, "Is it true you used to be an extra?" And he goes, "Oh yeah." And I go, "But you mean like you were an extra once or twice, or you worked a lot as an extra?" He goes, "No, I used to work a lot as an extra." I go, "Oh, well, cool. thanks. And then I just walked away. If they would have found out, like if a PA or an AD would have known, sure. I probably would have been kicked off the set, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, 17, just asking him a simple question. And he was very nice and approachable. And he goes, oh, yeah, I did a lot of extra work. So that was my Kevin Costner running.
And I think, though, too, something like that, I mean, if it's somebody that I feel like gets approached a lot and I want to say something, it's got to be in out.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't want them to feel like they're going to start a conversation or get stuck into something. But as far as being an extra, I was an extra on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And I was
Wait, how long ago was this?
Oh, years before Private Practice.
Okay.
So
was this through Jeff Olin casting?
Yes, but I knew the assistant director, so she got me on.
Okay.
And I'm at Craft Services. There is zero people around.
Yeah.
I'm just getting a chip or something.
Yeah.
Kate Walsh comes up.
Yeah.
And I just say, how you doing? And she just kind of looks at me and like raises her eyebrows, like, you know, whatever. And,
what?
Yeah. And kind of walks off. And I'm like, huh, there's no one around, bitch. You know, say fine and walk off. You know, like, how hard is it? But one time, actually, I was an extra on this show called My Boys.
Yeah.
And I knew the assistant director. And so after all the extras were dismissed, she let me stay because she knew I liked Jim Gaffigan.
Yes.
And he's on the show. And so he was standing there, and I went up to him, and I just want to say, you know, Mr. Gaffigan, I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been listening to a lot of your stuff for years and years. And he goes, who are you? Like, what is your involvement with this show? And I was like, oh, well, I was an extra, but I know the assistant director, so she let me stick around. And he was kind of like, okay. And I don't think he was being rude. He just seemed very confused by the whole thing, like why I was talking to him.
Oh, that ruins it for me because I like Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, me too.
But it makes it seem like, I mean, what's wrong with just saying, oh, thank you?
Yeah, I know. But, oh, well, I mean, you know, it's funny because you live in Los Angeles. It's like you got a different celebrity story for, you know, every month, you know?
Yeah.
So some people are cool. Some people aren't. Sometimes it's an act. Sometimes it isn't. But
yeah.
Is there anybody that, I mean, anybody else like besides Kevin Costner that you're just like, wow, you know, that person was really cool?
Aside from talking to Kevin Costner that one time, I would only say that the person that was very friendly was, she's not at the level of Kevin Costner, but sure. Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who used to be on, what is it?
Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah. So I worked as an extra when she had a shot at a pilot that was where she played some like former, in the pilot she played a former kid star, I think.
Okay.
So we were all these like jocks. I occasionally as a teenager I got to play a jock. Nice. Can you believe it? So I played a jock, and we were all like gathered around her, like saying, say it, like whatever her phrase, like whatever her child catchphrase was. Mm-hmm. Say it. And she goes like, oh, I'm a lucky girl, or whatever it was. And we go, yeah. So we shot that pilot, maybe at Warner Brothers. And then like a couple years later, I bump into her at Ralph's Market. Now, by the way, let me just also clarify, is Tiffany Amber Thiessen, I think she just goes by Tiffany Thiessen now, is the few actresses who is as pretty in person. I mean,
she's a hottie.
She's as pretty. I mean, she's, most of the time you see an actress in person, you go, oh man, without all the lights and makeup, she is really, really pretty. So I see her in Ralph's and I go, hey, I worked on your pilot. She goes, hey, you, hi. And she was real friendly.
Did she hug you?
She did not hug me, but she was very friendly. A year later, I go, hey, what's up, Tiffany? She goes, hey, you. And I swear like three different times I run into her at Ralph's on Ventura and Vine. She goes, hey, you. So that's my Tiffany Amber Thiessen story.
But is that the extent of the exchange?
That was it. I did not have sex with her, unfortunately.
Didn't like say like, so how have you been or anything
that? No, I just like, you know, because honestly, I don't believe they care.
Oh, no.
No. I just want to let her know, hey, I remember you. How's it going? Hey, okay. See you later.
Now, though, if I do see somebody out that I recognize and I feel like this person probably doesn't get approached a lot,
yes,
then I will go say something.
Yeah, like if they're not a big star, like maybe a character actor, I'll do that. Like if I see somebody at Starbucks who you don't know their name, but you've seen them and stuff, I go, hey, I enjoy your work. And they go, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
People like that, yeah, I might. But if it's a big star, probably not.
Exactly. Like I saw Kevin Durand, if you know who he is.
No.
And he was on Lost. He had like a sort of big part.
Just, yeah.
Very nice. But I mean, you know, like if I see somebody out there, I feel like too, a lot of times it's like certain celebrities, once you get to a certain point, it's kind of like hot girls.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people probably aren't going to say something.
Sure.
You know, but like if it's like Brad Pitt or something, I mean, you know, he knows he's fine. You know, he doesn't need the encouragement.
Sure.
But if I see somebody out there, I don't know. I like to just say, I recognize you.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. Every once in a while, I figure maybe it's from some commercial I did, or maybe a wedding I did, or maybe a comedy show I did.
You'll be recognized?
Every now and again, somebody comes to me and goes, hey, you look familiar. And my first thought is, maybe I look like their cousin or something. That's my first thought.
And it's a black guy. You're like,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. But then I think, well, maybe they just saw me in the video. Or I swear, I walk into Union Bank to cash a check and somebody go, hey, Kevin Alvarez, you know? So I just figured, yeah, they might have said, I'm so on the fringe, but I've done enough stuff. Like, I did the CPR video that was like a nationally distributed CPR. I had friends and family from New York emailing me, hey, I just saw your CPR video. So, like, I've done this much stuff. I'm doing little tiny motion with my fingertips. I've done this much stuff that maybe once in a while somebody would be, hey, you look kind of familiar. And it's not that they even remember where they saw me, but they're like, you look familiar. I go, yeah, I've done a few things. Maybe you saw me in a freaking I did a BMW dealership video for employee training.
I think
they
saw your picture at the post office.
Yeah, exactly. It could be anything. So yeah, every now and again that happens to me, and I just like, oh, thanks. You know, thanks. You know, yeah. I don't even know if I mean thanks. Just, oh, you recognize me? Okay, that's it.
I'm sure once you get to a certain level, you're kind of like, all right, thanks, you know, you hear it all the time. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like if you don't have fans, you don't have a job.
Yeah.
So you should never be rude. I mean, like, there's crossing the line, of course, if you're going up to somebody, but I don't know. Be gracious, Sal.
Yeah, no, I look, believe me. After all I've been through these last few years, after everything that I do.
Your trials and tribulations?
Exactly. Trying to earn a living, trying to get paid, trying to get footage, chasing down bookers, chasing down editors.
Chasing skirts.
Chasing women. Out of everything, believe me, if I ever got to a point where I was earning a nice living, or if I had a recognizable face on TV or movies, if I ever got to that point, I will have such tremendous gratitude. And I say that, and you can quote me on that.
Well, I think there's a lot of times where people don't go through the earning it phase anymore. They just don't respect what they have.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, maybe the days of pounding the pavement days are over, maybe.
Yeah. Well, is there anywhere you want to direct people towards?
You can visit me. You know, I do so many different things. You can listen to our show, Registered Ear Offenders, myself and Chris Z, skidrowstudios.com, Fridays 1 to 2. You can go to salrodriguez.com and read some of my writings. You can go to YouTube and punch in comedian host, see some old stand-up, some commercials, and some videos. You can also go to YouTube, punch in Barefoot Sal, and see toy reviews and all kinds of stuff. So I'm all over the place. You can catch me doing something.
So if you type in comedian host on YouTube, you come up first?
If you type in comedian host as a username on YouTube,
word.
Yeah, because what it is, it's youtube.com/comedian host.
Ah.
Or youtube.com/Salvador Los Angeles, which is sort of my personal page where I do product reviews and, you know, review, like you reviewed a cereal, I may review review a toy or headphones or whatever.
Cool. Well, I'll be checking those out. I'd like to thank you for coming out, Sal. I was very excited to talk to you, man.
Thank you, Zach. Thanks for having me, man.
No problem, dude.